The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
Now, in the week of the budget and 100 years since the start date of the Anglo-Irish Treaty negotiations in London, we're turning our attention now to probably Ireland's most famous ever Minister for Finance, Michael Collins. While overseeing intelligence and the finance brief, he was also behind the hugely successful Dáil Loan, which financed the state in its early days, and also a gold reserve, all underground, of course. The loan itself was a full-time job. We're joined by Patrick O'Sullivan Green, author of Crowdfunding the Revolution, the First Dáil Loan and the Battle for Irish Independence. Patrick, Michael Collins is a huge figure in Irish history as a revolutionary leader. There's images of him cycling around Dublin on his bike, the most wanted man. But what was he like as a Minister for Finance?
Yes, that image we have of Michael Collins, you know, running the Dáil government, raising the equivalent of $25 million and running an intelligence department from the back of a bicycle, you know, it's a myth that needs to be dispelled. Dáil Éireann, the intelligence department, the organisation of the loan funding were extremely professionally organised, elaborate organisation with innovative marketing campaigns. You know, operating to international standards would have been something that Michael Collins and Dermot O'Hagerty, who was the 27-year-old secretary of the Dáil, were very much focused on delivering to international standards.
If he had been Minister for Finance, not in a time of revolution, civil war and struggle for independence, but in sort of more ordinary times in an independent Ireland, do you think he would have been to the left or to the right, or what sort of budget might he have produced?
I think it would be a very business-centric budget. If you look at the first 2 years of the Dáil Éireann, the expenditure, 70% of the expenditure went on economic development activity, sending trade envoys across the world to set up an Irish merchant marine, to set up a new national land bank. And also they set up a commission of inquiry into the industrial and natural resources of the country. So it, basically to run the government departments and also to provide funding for the National Land Bank and to provide business capital.
When it came to Collins's work ethic, he seems to have been a pretty tough taskmaster, you know, around organising committees and what people were doing. At one stage, he wrote to Cathal Brua and he said, "If you saw the bloody pack down there and their casual, indefinite, meaningless, purposeless way of carrying on," he didn't suffer fools gladly, did he?
No, and as is often the case, you find people who work close to Collins liked him, were extremely loyal to him. But people who had infrequent contact with him, where the only contact tended to be messages like that, were not so enamoured with him. But that's, you know, part of life. His work ethic was very high. And he, if you look at correspondence in the organisation of the loan, there's a constant reference to hard work. You had loan organizing committees in every constituency across the country. And, you know, some of those organization committees didn't necessarily meet Collins's expectations. And, you know, at one stage, he, despite being in the middle of an intelligence battle, a military campaign, starting a new government, being Minister of Finance, the thing he complained to Harry Boland, who'd gone to America, about was the loan. And he said of the loan, "This enterprise will break my heart if anything ever will."
The British would have loved to have got their hands on this money. Where was the money and where was the gold? I mean, was it literally in a stash somewhere? Was there an opportunity to put it in safety deposit boxes in banks? Or
it was far more professional than that, Richard. It's the money was raised across the four corners of Ireland, courier to Dublin, brought to the head office. Receipts were issued for that money. And the money was then banked in the commercial banking system using a mix of getting permission to use people's names, using fictitious names, actually giving physical cash to people to open up accounts in their names. But those individuals were liable to pay interest on the funds because the bank interest rate at the time was about 5%. So those people who were entrusted with the Dáil funds were required to not just repay them, give back the money when required, but to account for the interest as well. You had, at the time, you had seven banks quoted on the Dublin Stock Exchange, including Bank of Ireland, which had been around since 1783. So we've quite the financial system was quite professional at the time, and Collins took the most use possible of that.
It was quite professional, and they obviously didn't ask too many questions either.
It required friendly bank managers for sure. And of the seven quoted banks, three would have had a nationalist bias, but that alone wasn't sufficient. It did require cooperation of bank managers.
One of the other aspects of the Dáil loan and raising such a huge sum of money, Collins seems to have had an eye or people around him towards marketing and promotion in order to make that happen. They even made a 7-minute promotional film.
At the time, and remember, this was raising funds, a loan, a government loan for a prohibited organisation, i.e. Dáil Éireann. And to raise funds, if you picture trying to raise 25 million euros today, you're going to have a sophisticated marketing campaign. And at the time, they issued 400,000 copies of the prospectus, 3 million promotional leaflets, 50,000 personalised letters to prominent Sinn Féin supporters.
And am I right in saying that this was part of the film, the promotional film, that Collins signed for the loan? He signed it on a stone on which Robert Emmet had been executed. Is that right?
Yes, and that would be a good marketing positioning, where in 1919, film was the internet of today. So he's combining using the innovative film medium, but at the same time linking directly to the historic past.
The promotional film could only work if they could get it into cinemas, you know, and show it before a big movie or whatever. Again, how did they get it into cinemas? Friendly cinema managers or a bit of arm twisting?
I think it was a mix of friendly cinema owners and, you know, if necessary, as you say, some arm twisting.
Well, it's been absolutely fascinating to examine that whole other side to Michael Collins. Patrick O'Sullivan-Green, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you, Richard.